In his love and in his pity, he redeemed us. In his love and in his pity, he provided help. Never has another loved us like the Savior loves. How could anyone suspend himself upon a cross and die for me? Die willingly to set us free. But he did love. He had pity on us. He provided heaven's love. Shall we not return the favor, live each day for our dear Savior, and one day he will return for us. How he suffered in the garden for your sin and mine. See him drudge up Calvary's mountain, not my will, but thine. Cursing mobs and angry soldiers spit upon that face. Then the night came when the darkness rolled the depth to which man's sin would go. And Jesus died. He loved us so. Yes, he did love. He had pity on us. He provided heaven's love. Shall we not return the favor, live each day for our dear Savior, and one day he will return for us.
Good. Well, glory. Maybe it's today. How about that? That'd be all right with me. The Lord comes back today. God bless you for being here. Take your Bible, if you would. Find Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter number 12, if you would please. Acts chapter number 12. I want to speak to you this morning, church, if I could, on accepting reality. Accepting reality. You know, so many people, they live in a fantasy world, and we need to break out of that, all right, and face that reality today, and that there are real things and real events that happen. These things aren't fraudulent. These aren't artificial. These aren't make-believe. There's real things that happen. Folks, listen to me. We are in a spiritual warfare. Now, the number one spiritual warfare that's going on is for the souls of men and women and boys and girls. There's a fight going on for your soul this morning. If you're here and you don't know Christ, there's a battle going on for your soul. And listen to me. Christ has already paid the price. He's already won the victory. All you've got to do is embrace it this morning and accept it. And just accept reality that Jesus Christ has died, was buried, and rose again, and ascended, and now sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me. What a great truth. That's reality, and we need to accept it. If you found your place in Acts 12, would you stand with me? We're going to read through verse number 11. Acts chapter 12, follow along with me silently as I read. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. You know why? Because he figured if he killed him, it'd please him even more. You say, what is he doing? He's trying to score brownie points. That's what he's doing. Because he was the guy in charge here, and he's trying to make everybody happy. Folks, listen to me. You might as well give up on that. You're not going to make everybody happy. But he's trying to make everybody happy. Then were the days of unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, that's Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Now keep in mind, just prior to this, it says that there was intercessory prayer going on while he was in prison. And then it says, verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. In other words, they didn't do it, they just walked up and opened. Wish that happened to some of these apartment complex gates and I can't get in. Wish I just drive up and they just open, but they won't. And, man, I got off on that. Where was I? Oh, which opened unto them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. You know what he just came to? He just came to reality. You see, prior to this, he wasn't sure because he said, man, I think this is a vision. But then once he got outside, he looked around and thought, man, I'm free. I'm free. You know what? He came to reality and accepted it. You know what? I want to preach to you this morning. You need to accept the same thing. You need to accept reality. Accept that which is real. Sometimes we live in a totally different world and we're not grasping the truths and reality of our day. Peter did after he got outside. Man, he came to reality and realized, I'm a free man. Let's pray together. Father, would you bless us now? Thank you for the opportunity to serve the living God. Father, you tell us that this is the day in which the Lord hath made. We're to rejoice and be glad in it. And Father, we ought to be glad people because we have a place to come to church. We have a Bible to read. We have an opportunity to come boldly before the throne of grace. Father, we ought to be glad because Jesus has paid the redemptive price for our sins and that you've given us an opportunity to be saved. Lord, we ought to be glad because you provide for us a place to live, clothes to wear, food to eat, car to drive. And Father, you've been so good to us. And yet many times we're not as glad, we're not as excited and rejoicing as we should be. Now I pray that the Spirit of God move in our hearts today, we pray, and we'll be careful to give all the glory and praise to you in Christ's name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I love preaching about the Apostle Peter. And I guess the reason I love preaching about him so much is because out of all the Bible characters, I seem to relate to this guy more than anybody. I mean, man, he was on mountaintops and valleys, had all kinds of things happen to him, but I think it's commonly agreed that Peter seems to be the apostle that best embodies the structure of the journey of the Christian life. He journeyed from the ministry, his life before the ministry of Jesus. He records in Scripture about his life during the ministry of Jesus, and now we find out what's happening in his life now after the ministry of Jesus. But I want to say this, before Peter met Jesus, he was in the fishing business. He wasn't looking for Christ. He was doing the same thing that he's always done all of his life, kind of making ends meet for his family, making sure the bills were paid, making sure the kids had tuition for school or shoes to wear, whatever it was. That was his job. He was a fisherman. And as far as I can tell, he didn't go looking for Jesus. Jesus came looking for him in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 19. And there he found him washing his nets. And he just walked up to him and said, "You know what? I understand that you're a fisherman." He said, "Now, I want you to follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And boy, I'm telling you, there must have been something powerful in those words, because this businessman left his business. I'm talking about left it cold turkey, brother. I'm talking about he didn't even inform the bankers. He didn't tell anybody. He just dropped his nets and off he went to follow Jesus. Let me tell you something. He wasn't looking for Christ. Christ came looking for him. But it was on this day. It was at this hour. It was this encounter that changed his life forever. And he forsook his business and followed the Lord. Well, if you're truly here this morning, truly born again believer, I think you can relate to some of Peter's experiences. You see, if you're here as a child of God this morning, I think you would agree with me that before salvation, you weren't seeking Jesus either, but he was seeking you. You weren't looking for him, but he came looking for you. And thank God he found me. Hey, the thing about it is I didn't realize it, but I was running from him. I didn't want to run from him. I didn't want to die without Christ. But my rejection and my desire not to associate with him, I was literally running for him, but he never stopped seeking me. He sought me, and he found me. Can I say to you that Jesus found you just like he found Peter, doing what he had always done? You see, the thing about it is, he found you doing what you had always been doing, and you probably weren't thinking about Christ, wasn't thinking about his church, wasn't thinking about service, but he found you doing the same thing that you've always done. You see, most of the people that Jesus finds with salvation, most of them he don't find in church, he finds outside of church. You see, and then he came to Peter and he made an appeal. And the appeal was to follow him and I'll make you fishers of men. He made an appeal to Peter to change. And may I say this morning, there's a God in heaven that's speaking to your heart and your spirit right now. And you know what his appeal is? To make a change. To make a change in your life. But ultimately, Jesus can make the offer of change, but you're going to have to accept it. You're going to have to choose this morning whether or not to accept reality. You're going to have to choose this morning whether or not you're going to change or you're going to leave today just like you came. You see, Peter that day made a change to faith in Christ. But you know something? Just because you make a change to faith in Christ doesn't mean immediately that everything changes or that you're immediately going to come to maturity. Can I remind you that Peter spent over 3 years with the Lord Jesus Christ and still didn't reach maturity till right at the very end? It took some time. Hey, there were times in his life that he complained from time to time. And those of you that are Christians this morning, you're a child of God, we're guilty of the same thing. We complain a lot of times about why this, Lord, and why that. Peter did the same thing. Peter condemned others for their actions, just like some of us do. Peter resisted Jesus' will for his life, just like some of us do. Oh, listen to this. Peter rebuked Jesus for some of the words he'd spoken, just like some of us do. When God says, "Thus saith the Lord," we rebuke him. And the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord," and we say, "No, I don't think I'm going to do that." You see, Peter, walking through life, rebuked Jesus many times for words that he had spoken. He fought with others over who was the greatest in the kingdom. And by the way, we do the same thing. We don't like to admit it, but we do. Because listen, some of you right here this morning, you're not listening to a word I'm saying because you're thinking about what a brother across the auditorium is doing and what if he's one up on you about something. We're so concerned about what other people are thinking, we can't even come to church and concentrate on the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Hey, Peter was guilty of that as well. The apostles, these are men that walked with God. They want to know, who's going to be the greatest? Is it me? Is it me? And by the way, when James and John came and asked Jesus that, and you remember the other apostles got upset because they asked, you know why they got upset? Because they wanted them seats. They wanted the chief place. That's why they got upset. They weren't upset, well, how dare they? No, you know what? If it hadn't have been James and John, it would have been one of them. Probably Peter asking about it. But they fought each other over who was going to be the greatest. Hey, Peter even tried to prevent Jesus from going to the cross. He refused to obey Jesus' direct command. When Jesus wanted to wash his feet, he says, no, you're not going to wash my feet. Hey, has the Lord ever tried to do something in your life? You say, no, I don't think I want you to do that for me. Has God ever come to you and said, listen, I want to wash your feet. I want to take care of this. I want to do this in your life. And you resisted him? Hey, Peter resisted the Lord also. He had several moments where he lost self-control. One of them was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Hey, he lost control of himself and whacked old Malchus' ear right off his head. Now, you know what? Jesus didn't applaud him. Jesus didn't say, bravo, good job. You know what he did? He picked the guy's ear up and put it back on. And he told Peter, put the sword up. He said, this is not Christianity. You didn't listen to this. What kind of Christianity are you displaying to the world by taking a sword out and swinging it at somebody? You see, the thing about it is we're guilty of that too, because what happens is we're quick to pull the sword and start swinging it before we know any facts. All we do is judge things on what it appears to be. And so we're guilty just like Peter. Hey, let me say something to you this morning. Has any of the things I'm telling you sound familiar to you? Does any of the things that this apostle has gone through sound familiar to you? But probably out of all this, Peter denied three times that he even knew Jesus when he got under pressure. He had pressure put on him, denied the Lord three times. I wonder how many in here that are a born-again believer, you've denied the Lord when pressure's been put on you, and somebody on your job said, listen, are you a Christian? Well, I got to go right now. See, it's amazing what we say about Christ when the pressure's put on. And Peter denied him three times. Hey, all of this sounds familiar, doesn't it? Does it, you know what? It represents our struggles today in the Christian life. And I want to say this to you. You're not alone. But you're probably in the majority of where most Christians live, because Peter lived an up and down life. But wait a minute, it wasn't all down. He had some up times as well. Hey, may I remind you that he saw multiple miracles of Jesus? He saw thousands fed with just a few loaves and a few fishes. He saw people raised from the dead. He saw healings in numerous amounts. Hey, he saw the compassion and the love of Jesus with the woman at the well in John chapter 4. He saw that with his own eyes. Hey, he was invited to the transfigure of Jesus in Matthew chapter 17. Hey, he got invited to that. Not everybody got invited. So he did have some high moments in his Christian life. Hey, he had private prayer time with Jesus. That's more than we can say. Hey, he walked on water. That's more than we can say. Hey, he participated in the Last Supper. That's more than we can say. But he witnessed the resurrected Christ, the ascension, and the grace of God that God had used him on Pentecost when you go back to Acts chapter 2. So see, it wasn't all down times for Peter. He also had some up times. Yeah, you know what? This almost sounds like a Christian life just a tad bit, doesn't it? See, what happens is when you get born again, doesn't mean it's all going to be mountaintop experiences. It doesn't mean that all the problems have gone away. Matter of fact, when you get saved, you just got on the devil's radar. Part of your problems just began. We just need to wake up and accept reality. You see, there's so many ups and downs, not in just in Peter's life, but in our life as well. But let me tell you something Peter didn't do. He didn't quit. He didn't quit just because, listen, he had to endure some hardships, and just because he didn't have the opportunity to live on the mountaintop all the time. Let me say, when one chooses Jesus and associates themselves with the life of Christ, things change because your choices have changed. People change and their view towards you because your choices have changed as far as your view and your relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I said that this morning to point out three things. I want to go back to our text, if I could, please. In these 11 verses, I want to point out a few things to you this morning for the message. First of all, I want you to notice, if you would, in verses 1 through 4, that Peter was accosted by his enemy. Peter was accosted by his enemy. Now, I'm going to stop and say this first of all before I go any further right here. If you're a child of God this morning, you need to wake up about something. Okay? There is a devil. There is Satan who desires to destroy your family. He desires to destroy your life. He desires to destroy everything that you hold dear in your life. And yet, guess what? Peter got accosted, got an attack by the enemy. He was doing great. I mean, things were going well. And all of a sudden, he's minding his own business. And then he gets arrested. But he was accosted by his enemy. Let me remind you this morning that you have but one enemy and one enemy only, and it's Satan. You see that person sitting next to you? They're not your enemy. You see that person sitting in front of you? They're not your enemy. That person sitting across the pew? They're not your enemy. You have one enemy and one enemy only, and it's the devil, and he's looking for you. The problem is, you're not looking for him. He's looking for you. Oh yeah, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You see, the reason that most of us hit a lot of our down times is because we can't recognize when Satan's working in our life. We can't recognize his little old tricks. And by the way, they're no different. They work all the time. He uses the same things. Why? Because we're so foolish, we can't recognize them. And so he just uses the same thing. Hey, listen, when I go fishing and I use bait, why would I change? What, for instance, when I was a kid, I used to go down, there used to be a pond where I, a couple of miles from the house, and I used to go fishing down at that pond. I used to use cheese. And I'd catch fish on cheese. I'd take little chunks of cheese and put it on there. And man, I was pulling out of there left and right. But I also, just in case they weren't biting cheese, I took some bacon fat. But they were hitting on cheese. And I'm thinking, man, I'm pulling them out of here left and right on a little piece of cheese. Why would I use the bacon fat? Why change when they're biting on the thing that I'm putting down there every time? And Satan uses the same tactics, the same old tricks, the same deception. And you know what people do? They bite it every time. Why change the bacon fat when we're biting on the cheese? And yet, we've got to come to reality and accept reality that you have an enemy, and his name is Satan, and he desires to destroy your life. He desires to destroy your family, your children, your marriage, and everything that you hold dear to you. Hey, this is how Christians end up in bondage and captivity to their vices, because they take the bait. You see, Satan was looking for Peter. Peter just wasn't looking for him. See, that day, I'm sure Peter wasn't looking over his shoulder and says, man, I wonder if the devil's after me. No, boom, bam, but the devil was looking for him. And see, I'm afraid today, child of God, that we walk our life, we wake up every morning, and I wonder how many of you today, you might have addressed Jesus, but how many of you addressed the devil? How many of you got up this morning and said, listen, the devil, I know that you're on my case. And I know that you're going to be looking for an open door in my life today. I just want you to know, I got my eye on you, partner. Most of us, listen, we've got our eyes on everything except the enemy. Except the enemy. And that's what we need to keep our eye on. He's constantly walking around our life. His ultimate goal is to devour and to destroy everything, not only that you hold dear, but that God holds dear in your life. You see, Peter was accosted by his enemy, and he realized he had but one enemy. It was the devil. But I want you to notice in our text here, it says, now about the time, verse 1, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. What's going to happen here is you're going to face instruments of Satan. He may not come at you in person, but he can come at you through other people. You see, he attacked Peter through somebody else. He used the man in charge to come against him. You see, some will want to stop your life from proceeding going any further. They want to kill you. They want to destroy you. They want to stop you. Listen, if the world had its way today, they'd shut Trinity Baptist Church down. They'd shut our bus ministry down. Listen, if they had its way, they'd stop us going door to door talking to people about their soul. You see, there's an enemy, and many times the enemy is somebody else that Satan's using. There's people out there that want to stop your life and stop you from going forward. There's some that want to hold you to your old lifestyle. The amazing thing is this. After I got saved, and I told people that I was a Christian, you know, it didn't seem to faze any of the old crowd that much. They're like, oh yeah, you're just having some kind of religious experience. You'll get over that. You know what? You'll come on back with us over here. They found out that I didn't come back. But you listen, they stayed after me though. They stayed after me. And boy, they stayed after me quick. And some of you here today that may be a child of God, there may be people staying after you to come back to that old lifestyle. Listen to me, don't go back. It's not worth it. It's not worth the price to pay of going back. May I say that some could care less about your feelings and what you think? Listen, do you think Herod cared anything about what Peter thought about killing James? He could care less. And can I tell you, the world could care less about your feelings also. They could care less about your Christianity. Most of the world could care less about your church attendance, your Bible reading. They could care less about your devotion to Christ. I'm just here to tell you that sometimes Satan uses other instruments. Satan will turn your old friends against you. Did you notice here that it said in verse 2 that he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword because he saw it pleased the Jews? Now listen, I don't know how many of these Jews were people that were acquainted with Peter. I wonder if some of them might have been some old boys he went to school with. I wonder if some of them might have been some old boys who used to be some of his customers in the fishing business. I wonder if some of them that turned against him were people that he had been acquainted with. Let me tell you something, Satan's very good about turning old friends and maybe even family members against you. Some of these people may have been customers, some of them may have been neighbors, some of them may have been just people that were deceived. Let me tell you something, change brings about change in others as well. When you change, it brings about change in others. It changes their attitude, it changes their association with you, and it changes their alliance with you. You see, Jesus causes a line of separation to form. You just need to make sure you're on the right side. You see, I just noticed here that, listen, Peter had to accept reality. And one of the things he had to accept reality is that he had an enemy, and his enemy was Satan, and then Satan used other people. He used other people to bring him into prison. The second thing I noticed here, we find in verse number 5. Even though he was brought into prison, the scripture says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Peter, the second thing I notice here is Peter was the object of intercessory prayer. I'm just going to tell you, looking at a preacher right here, I believe in intercessory prayer. I believe in it just as sure as I'm standing here today. And by the way, I want to say this. Here's the reality of this, okay? Here's the actual reality of this. Listen to me. Do you know, while Peter was in prison, others knew of his situation? You know how I know they knew? Because they were praying for him. There were other people that knew about his situation. Listen to me, folks. Everybody look up here. Listen, you're not the only one who's got problems. You're not the only one that's going through a hardship. You're not the only one in the world that needs prayer. You see, we just got to embrace and accept reality is that, listen, there are many others that are going through problems and difficulties right now. You see, there were others that knew of his situation. We've got to resist the attitude of pity for where we are right now. Anybody here ever had a good old pity party? You know who the guests are to a pity party? Me, myself, and I. And boy, we can have, I'm telling you, with just that little old me, myself, and I, boy, we can have a tremendous pity party. Do you know there were people in the Bible that had pity parties? Do you know Elijah had one? He thought, I'm the only guy. Hey, look at this. Out of all this I've done, I'm the only guy left that's standing for God. You know what God said? Get out of that cave. Get out here. Let me show you that I've got other people. He said, you're not the only person that loves me. You're not the only person that cares about me. He said, I've got thousands out here that have not bent the knee to Baal. You see, sometimes we have a pity party that we're the only person going through a situation. Hey, did you notice Peter was asleep? He wasn't in there pacing back and forth and biting his nails. He's asleep. Hey, you think he was concerned about his situation? No, he'd already been through enough. He knew that God was in charge. You see, all I'm saying to you is that Peter was the object of intercessory prayer. Others knew about his situation. You see, we've got to resist the attitude of having a pity party. Trust God to reveal your condition to others. Hey, listen, folks, I'll just be honest with you. I don't go advertising everything I need prayer for. Now, listen to me. I'm not trying to hurt nobody's feelings. Some people go advertising something as prayer that is not really prayer. It's just something they want from somebody. Amen. I say amen myself right there because you know it's the fact. Okay, you know it's true. People come to you with a prayer request. They didn't have any intentions of you praying for it. They're just letting you know, hoping you'll meet that need in their life or give them something. Amen. Hey, I'm just saying to you that we need to trust God to reveal our condition to others. Do you believe in intercessory prayer? Do you believe there's a God in heaven that can tell somebody else what your need is and meet it? Absolutely, He can. Don't be a constant complainer. Again, you're not the only person with problems. I'm just saying others knew of his situation. Hey, listen to this. This is good. Others prayed for his situation. Not only did others know about it, they prayed about his situation. Did you notice in verse number 5, it says, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Kind of tells me there wasn't just one or two, there was a whole church praying. You see, the church prayed. They prayed without ceasing, which is exactly what 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us. Pray without, keep God constantly on the line. Don't ever hang up on God. Listen, you get up in the day, you make connection with heaven through prayer, and listen, you stay in contact with God all day long. Listen, others prayed for his situation. Oh, can I say this to you? You say, well, preacher, I just don't have enough faith. Well, listen, these people right here didn't have a whole lot of faith either. They prayed with very minimal faith. You say, well, how do you know? Well, go over here and look at verse 15. When Peter was actually delivered from prison, he comes and knocks on the door. Why? Because he knew that's where the people were that prayed. He came to the church door. Hey, it's me. Who is it? It's Peter, open up. I'm sorry, we're in a prayer meeting. We can't open the door right now. We're praying for someone. Go away. We're really busy. And he kept banging and kept banging. Finally, listen. A little girl opened the door. A little girl opened the door. She goes back and tells the church. She says, hey, listen, you're not going to believe this. There's a guy at the door, says he's Peter. Look at verse 15. And they said unto her, thou art mad. Well, that doesn't sound like a whole lot of faith to me. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, listen, little girl, go back to the nursery. It's his angel. Now stop, folks. I'm telling you, here's what we think. We think the only time that God's going to answer prayer is if we've got a boatload of faith. We think, well, if I don't have a boatload of faith, God's not even going to hear me. These people barely had any. They told them, look, you're mad. Now go on, we're praying for Peter. I know, he's at the door. Go, run along. Now listen to me. This is important. Those praying didn't even know it was working. You hear me? They didn't even know it was working. They were on their knees praying, listen to me, and they're inside praying. Peter's at the door. Their prayers were working, but they didn't even know it. Listen to me. You say, what are you telling me, preacher? Listen to me. This is important. That's the reason you never stop praying for somebody. Because you're not privy to whether it's working or not. You don't know what God's doing through your intercessory prayer for somebody. Peter was that object. Others knew of his situation. They prayed for his situation. Listen, and they were praying, and those people who prayed didn't even know that it was working. Hey, listen, they only knew after the fact that their prayer got answered. They only knew after he came in. They said, prayer answered. They didn't even know it until they saw him. You see, God answered their prayer, listen now, while they were still praying. You hear me? They didn't even know it was working. You see, the thing about it is we give up way too soon because we don't think it's working. We don't think, that prayer's not working because, listen, I've been praying for this situation for 5 years. Hey, well, you know what? You may not get as immediate prayer as these people got, but listen, they were praying and they didn't even know it was working. They were just praying. And listen, they didn't have a whole lot of confidence that their prayers were going to work because they thought he was already dead. They said, it's his angel. They probably already whacked his head off. They killed James. They probably already done it here. But we're going to pray anyway. Listen, they even kept praying even though their prayer was already answered. Folks, this is too good. You got to wake up. We got to accept reality here. The reality is they didn't even know it was working. And then they were praying. Why? The answer had already come and they were still praying. They even prayed after the prayer was answered. Here's what we do. We pray for somebody, God answers, boom, we stop. We don't pray for them anymore. They were in there praying, prayer had already been answered. You know what that tells me? That tells me that God works before prayer, during prayer, and after prayer. So don't stop praying. Peter was the object of intercessory prayer. Hey, others knew his situation. They prayed for the situation, and then the people that prayed didn't even know it was working. Until, but you know when they found out God answered the prayer? After the fact. Now listen, so I'm sure there probably were some of them thought, man, Lord, we've been praying all night long, God answered it at 11 o'clock last night. It's all right. It'd be all right to pray a little overtime. Now, let me say this lastly. I said Peter had to accept the reality that, listen, you're going to get accosted by your enemy. Number two, you might be the object of intercessory prayer. There may be others that may be the object of intercessory prayer. But here's the third thing I want to notice here, and that's this. Peter was set free by the divine hand of God. Peter was set free by the divine hand of God. Let me stop and say this. Peter didn't work his way to freedom. You hear me? And you're not going to work your way to freedom and salvation either. Hey, he didn't work his way to freedom. The divine hand of God had to reach down and unshackle his hands and unshackle his feet so that he could go free. Let me tell you something. There's a God in heaven that sent his only begotten Son one day, 2,000 years ago, to die on a cross so that your hands and your feet could be unshackled today. You can't work your way to freedom. It's only by the grace of God and by the divine hand of God. Hey, freedom is totally dependent upon God. Now I want you to look at the text real quick and we're done. Here's what he did. First of all, let me notice this. He was set free by faith. Now we need to think about this because this is not unusual. You see, Peter had faith. He was asleep. But can I say to you, the church had faith. They didn't have much, but they had some. You know where that got? And that got Peter freed. But by the way, this is not unusual because in Luke chapter 5, if you'll remember, there were four men that brought their buddy, sick of the palsy, to Jesus. They tried to press in the house. There was too many people in the house. They said, well, you know what? We'll just go on the roof. So they climbed up the roof, dug a hole in the roof, let him down. Now listen to me. Go check me out. Jesus, the scripture says that he healed that man when he saw their faith. Hey, you guys up there. Listen, I believe the old palsy guy had faith, but he looked up, he had two buddies up there. When he saw their faith. Can I say to you, this church didn't have a whole lot of faith, but they did have a little. He was set free by faith. The second thing I noticed here is he was not only set free by faith, he was set free to follow. Did you notice when the angel set him free, his chains fell off? Did you notice the last part of verse number 8? He said, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. Do you know what God saves people for? Not to sit, but to follow. He doesn't save them to sit, he saves them to serve. God doesn't save people just so that he can have robots for servants. He saves people to serve the living God. Peter was set free by faith, he was set free to follow. Hey, first of all, he didn't even know the way out. And you know something? A person that's in bondage does not know the way out. They have to depend on somebody to lead them out. Can I say to you this morning, the Holy Ghost of God will take you, convict you this morning, and he'll say, listen, you see the cross? Follow the cross. Follow Jesus, because you know what? That's the way out of bondage. That's the way out of captivity. You're saved. God saves people to follow. Peter didn't know the way out. Hey, he didn't have to know all the details to follow him either. I'm sure he didn't get up. Listen, he didn't say, well, just wait just a minute. Just hold on just a minute. You tell me what's going on here. I'm not going anywhere. You explain everything to me. You know what the angel would have said? See ya. Because I got a job to do, and if you don't want to follow me, I'm leaving. You can come with me or you can stay. Let me tell you something. The Lord's coming back one day. You can either go with him or you can stay. Your choice. You can decide what you want to do. Hey, Peter thought, you know what? I don't know what's going on here, but I'm following this guy. Because, man, I'm looking around here, I don't have any chains on, no shackles on anymore. I'm free. He was set free to follow. He had to follow by faith, not by sight. And here's the last thing. He was set free to finish. God wasn't finished with him yet. Oh, can I say, God's not done with you yet either. The reason I know he wasn't finished with Peter yet, because he got him out of jail and got him out of prison, put him back on the streets. The reason I know that he's not finished with you yet, guess what? You're here. You're here. He's not done with you yet either. Hey, he was set free to finish. Listen to me. God wasn't done with Peter yet. He's not done with you either today. God wants you to finish free. God wants you to finish fulfilled. And God wants you to finish in His favor. That's how He wants you to finish. Job 14, verse number 5, last verse. Job said this, "Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass." The reality today, you're going to die. And you're not going beyond those bounds. You see, some people won't accept the reality that, you know what, life is not forever in this body. Your soul's forever, but your life's not forever in this body. You're going to die. You're going to face God one day. Are you going to face Him knowing that you've been born again? Are you going to face Him and have to hear, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you"? I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many can say, "Preacher, I'm a child of God, I'm a Christian, no question about it, I'm saved"? I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, "That's me. I'm not even ashamed of it, preacher. I'll let you know right off the bat right now. I'm a Christian. I've been born again." God bless you. All right, you can put your hands down. Now, Father, you have seen the people of God that have raised their hands this morning. Father, the entire purpose of today was just trying to get us to put our arms around and accept what reality is. We do have an enemy who desires to destroy us. He's seeking us, wanting to devour us, to tear us apart. We also have to accept the reality that intercessory prayer does work. Lord, here was this little old church. They were praying for the great apostle Peter. Didn't even know if their prayers were working. Didn't even realize they prayed with very minimal faith. And sometimes I think we get a misconception that if we don't dump all of our faith, or if we don't have a boatload of faith when we go to prayer, that you're not even going to hear what we have to say. And yet here's a church that had little to no faith, and yet you saw their faith and you answered their prayer. And yet, Lord, we also here must accept the reality that not only do we have an enemy, not only is there intercessory prayer, but we likewise today, Father, must accept a great, great fact. And that great fact is, Lord, that if we're going to be set free, we're going to have to be set free by the divine hand of God. So my prayer is that there are people here today that know not Jesus, have never put their faith and trust in Christ, that today they'd be set free and allow the divine hand of God to release them. Because, Lord, they cannot work their way to freedom. They cannot do good deeds to make their way to freedom. It's only through the shed blood of Christ. And I pray today would be the day that they'd come to Thee. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one's looking around. I told you lastly this morning that I don't think God's finished with you yet. The reason I know that, because you're here this morning. God sent you to this service on purpose. And it may be for you to come to the reality and accept the reality that you know not Christ. But you'd say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? It's not that I want to die and go to hell, but would you pray for me? I want to go to heaven. I just don't know that. I don't have that security, preacher. I feel uneasy about what would happen to me when I die." And you'd say, "Would you pray for me?" And you'd let me do that. Nobody's looking but me. I want you to slip your hand up. You say, "Preacher, that's me. That's me. That's me. God bless you. And you. And you. And you. God bless you." Who would join these four and say, "Preacher, that's me. I just don't know for sure. I don't have that settled in my heart. Preacher, pray for me." Anybody else? They'll join these four. Say, "That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me." All right? God bless you. God bless you. You can put your who'll join these five. Who'll join these five? Slip it up. Slip it up so I can see. God bless you. God bless you. Good. Who'll join these six? Anybody else? Anybody else? All right? Maybe you're here this morning and say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I've never been baptized after I got saved. It's not that I don't want to. Maybe someone's never explained it to you. Maybe you just didn't understand the purpose of it. You don't have to be baptized to be saved, but you do have to be baptized because you are saved." And you say, "Preacher, I'm a Christian, never been baptized after I got saved. Pray for me. Pray for me. I need to take care of that bit of business for God." I want you to slip your hand up and say, "That's me. That's me. God bless you and you and you. Who will join these three? Say, preacher, that's me. I've already been saved, never been baptized after I got saved. Pray for me. All right? Then lastly, how many would say, preacher, I'm a Christian. But you know what? I've kind of let my guard down. I really kind of let the actual reality of things that I know there's a devil, but I don't wake up every morning looking for him. You better. You say, preacher, I just haven't been involved in intercessory prayer because sometimes I just don't think it's working. Well, the church there that was praying for Peter in Jerusalem there, hey, listen, they probably didn't think, they might have thought it was working either. They didn't have very little faith either. Very little faith they had, but they kept praying. And some of you today say, preacher, I just need to be set free. I've got a vice in my life. I've got something going on in my life. I need to be set free. And you say, preacher, pray for me. Just slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. All right? All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, I ask that you bless this invitation, the music to follow. And then, Lord, I pray for those who have raised their hand that they'd come today. Today could be a literally day of transformation in their life. They could, Lord, come to the saving knowledge of Christ. Some need to come get baptized. Some need to join. Some need to just come and pray and release the things, Lord, that are causing them and causing stumbling blocks in their life that have become a vice in their life. They need to be set free by the divine hand of God. Please, would you have your way today? And Father, forgive us because of our lack of intercessory prayer for people that we love, people that we know. Many times that we pray and we don't see it working, but you're working behind the scenes. That church didn't even know that their prayer was even being answered, but they kept praying. And you had already answered the prayer, and they continue to pray. And so I pray now, have your will and way. Convict hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask Brother Shaddix to begin to sing. And as you stand together, listen, if you raise your hand, this is your opportunity. This may be your last opportunity. Hey, would you come this morning and embrace reality? Some of you have been fighting the devil tooth and nail. Would you come and embrace the reality that he's your enemy? Come on, come on, come on. If you're here this morning, you say, preacher, I've already been saved. I need to be baptized. You come on. Come on, this is your opportunity. This is when you need to move. You come ahead. Come on, come on. This is your opportunity. Come on. Come on. Many of you have raised your hand. You come on. Come on. If you just need to pray with somebody, you come on. You come on. Come on, we'll wait on you. We'll wait on you. Wherever he leads, I'll go. He drew me closer to his side. I sought his will.